The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776.
Number two. It's gross.
Is it really?
I just realized, by the way.
You always have to turn it into poo, don't you?
During the break, I was like, hey, AD, I know AD's our engineer. I was like, hey, I know all these computers are messed up. Did it affect, like, did it affect my laptop? Did it affect, and he's like, well, you have a Mac, so no. He said, but every other computer in here got messed up. And I was like, well, what about the one in my office? Because I've got a PC in my office, too. And he's like, let me look. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's messed up. So now he's in there trying to fix my computer.
That's why I just use the Mac for everything. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. And we do have the Twitch channel working. AD did get that up and going. So
yes, sir.
If you wish to watch us on Twitch and comment there, be my guest, 502.
Pardon me.
For your first one. And if you missed the first hour, a lot of... championship game talk for the most part. A little UFC in there. We have not talked about your beloved Texans.
No, we've not. And where to start, I guess, is sort of the question. I think we knew Crennel was going to be gone. This isn't a shock to anybody.
Right.
The fact that they're promoting from within... kind of it defeats the purpose. Now, they're... Remember when we talked about the flat organization and how there's really three or four GMs with equal but separate powers? Well, one of those guys gets fired, and I'm guessing more power soaks into Bill O'Brien somehow. It's like Bizarro World, because just when you... Like, we've been sitting here, they've got to hire... a new coordinator who's not from the inside. Like, they need to hire new coordinators on offense and defense. They need to get a GM. And instead, they're like, no, Bill O'Brien, you take more of the GM power, soak in even more power. It's like he's picking up Infinity Stones. And we're going to fire Romeo Crennel, but nothing's really going to change because we're just going to get one of his cronies bumped up to the head job, to the DC job. So... nothing's going to change. Don't worry. You don't have to hire an OC yet. No big deal. I mean, nothing that we're asking for and fans are asking for is happening. In fact, it's the opposite.
Yeah, in fact, it seems like anyone who might even remotely disagree with the guy is gone.
Yeah.
And, well, let's start with Anthony Weaver may turn out to be a really good coach. I hear a lot of good things about him. And at some point, guys have to... get an opportunity, right? I mean, it's because I always say I want guys with experience who've done it before, but you got to get experience somewhere. I prefer you get it elsewhere.
Yeah.
That's just me. But in this case, he might turn out to be great, but again, it's just one of your guys. And then you got rid of John Pagano, who was your linebacker coach, who'd been a defensive coordinator in the league before. That doesn't make a ton of sense. So who on that defense now has been a coordinator? Crickets, yeah, because it's not there. And you, what, Bill O'Brien's going to run the defense now?
Right.
And then...
he's got it. Don't worry.
Getting rid of this Olsen guy who, listen, it's a front office guy, but he's also been there 13 years, and there's a lot of people in the organization that say he's really good at the salary cap. And he's managed his cap for a long time. They've never really been in a terrible spot with the salary cap. And yet he also had the interim general manager tag on him, apparently. Pretty sure Bill O'Brien didn't like that.
Yeah.
So it's just him and this Jack Easterby guy swallowing up all the power. And the frustrating part is, Bill O'Brien, what has he done well enough at any one job to keep getting more? You know what this is like? This is like, if you know, just not me, right? This is like some guy I know. You're in a relationship with somebody for about 10 years. And they do something that drives you nuts, right? and you tell them, hey, man, this is driving me nuts. You got to stop doing it. And you tell them, and then they keep doing it, so you give up, right?
Right.
And then they start doing something else. And you tell them, man, come on. Do you really have to keep doing this? And finally, you give up. I feel like that's how I feel about Bill O'Brien. I've given up.
I mean, we're not going to win.
No.
Man, it's not a battle we're going to win. I can tell you that.
And, I mean, and please, I've been just, I mean, it's not going to happen now. I know this. Go hire an offensive coordinator. You've been here 6 years. You've never cracked the top 10 in offense. And the last, and look who you have on your offense. You got Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins. And you're barely top 10. You're barely top 15.
Yeah.
Barely. You're supposed to be the guy. Or it's this this Kelly guy that you say is such a great coach. Okay, well, how did he do? We talked about this before they played the Chiefs. I think it was Lamont said, well, how do the Chiefs have that many more weapons than the Texans do? If you look at it, they really don't. So why are they that more effective? And so let's start with that. How about fix your bleeping offense? If you would just do that, you can declare yourself God. I don't care. I mean, he already has done it, I guess. But, you know, go make yourself GM. Go make yourself president of the club. I don't care. Fix your offense. And now you're going to get another guy in there that no experience as a defensive coordinator, another one of your pets. He's one of your guys.
Yep.
And I hope he works out. And I mean, again, I hear good things about him, but I don't think a team at this spot should be experimenting with new guys.
I don't either.
I think you should,
because we talk about win now. They're not trying to win now.
No.
I mean, if they are trying to win now, they don't know how to win.
Well, that's the problem. And so every decision now is Bill O'Brien. And now he's the face of your franchise. And that's a problem, too, because there's so many guys I want to root for on this team. I love Deshaun Watson. I love DeAndre Hopkins. JJ, if you hate JJ, you hate puppies. I mean, you want to root for these guys. But that's not who you think of when you think of the Texans.
No.
You think of the little dictator. And it's okay that he's unlikable. I get it. But how do you keep giving somebody more and more power? I was frustrated with it last week because really this season was they took it to a new extreme with him. And I don't know why I'm surprised that they're taking it to yet another extreme.
Yeah.
So I can't even get mad anymore. It's just how much is this guy going to get? And somebody brought up a really good point. Have we still not heard a word from Cal McNair? No. And Cal McNair, to me, it appears, I don't know because he doesn't say anything except they're going to be a flatter organization. Seems to me he doesn't want to have to deal with anything, so let's let this guy handle it all.
Right.
And I'll stay in the background. Okay, that's fine. Do you have the right guy for that? And I think after 6 years, I think we know the answer to that.
Well, we know the answer.
Well, we've been telling them, but they don't.
Maybe Cal McNair's just a dummy. Did you ever think of that? Like, maybe he's just not that smart. I don't know him, but I'm not saying he's a dummy, but if he's not a dummy, he sure does a lot of dummy stuff.
Yeah, I don't like to put that on people, but
I know there's a lot of people who, you know, they knew Bob, who worried that when the time came, when Bob was no longer with us, that maybe Cal wasn't quite as bright as Bob. You know, I mean, it's almost like I, you know, maybe he's like Billy Madison. He's the hotel heir whose son just, you know, never finished high school or never finished school. And, you know, now he's going back through kindergarten and first grade and, you know, he's reliving his old days. I don't know, but Cal McNair, the decisions he's made so far aren't promising.
I met Cal one time.
Is he a dummy?
Let's just say I wasn't all that impressed.
Okay.
But
you were impressed by his dad.
Yeah, I was. His dad I'd met several times.
And you admire.
I did. And, you know, and I think we're starting to see that maybe there's a little bit of a gap here between. And I know there was some things happened at the end of his tenure that cast him in a bad light. But the reality was, and people were like, oh, he just wants to make money. he had people in his organization. That's all they cared about. And those people are still there.
Right.
But Bob McNair wanted to win. He was a competitive dude. He was just quiet about it. I don't know Cal enough to comment on him other than the one meeting we had. I just wasn't all that impressed with him. And A32 says, I see the Texans like the Eagles under Chip Kelly a few years back. I've been using that now for months, that this is the whole Chip Kelly thing. So, yeah, and the reality is they're going to make money.
Yep.
This team makes money. And I think that's all Cal cares about. And really, the thing that's sad is you guys don't really have any recourse here. It's like, oh, I'll give up my tickets. No, you won't. And if you do, I mean, that's – don't deprive yourself out of enjoying. Now, maybe I wouldn't buy as much gear. Maybe that. And then maybe not show up for some of those games. Just let them know. And – but I don't think they care. I think all they worry about is the fact that they have a waiting list. And so they're going to put all the football operations on O'Brien. And for a guy who hasn't earned that. I have no problem with a guy having ultimate power if he's earned it.
Right.
Bill Belichick. And that's – and I – man, I had an argument with somebody this weekend and who really likes Bill O'Brien, which was shocking because he's a very smart guy. And his whole thing was, oh, no, you got to give him more power. You got to give him more power so that he's in control of everything and he'll make the right decisions. And I'm going, what has he done to make you think he'll make the right decisions? Oh, and you know what the line was? 4 AFC South Division titles.
There you go.
Okay, yeah, you're right. I can't argue with that. Meanwhile,
shame.
Your division opponent made it to the championship game. Was that better? What would you rather have?
Yeah,
I guess you'd rather have the South Division title because you can put it up.
Congratulations.
You can hang that
banner
up
for that.
Yeah, there you go. You don't get a banner for getting beat in the championship game. You just went a step
wild
farther.
Card, but went to the AFC championship game.
Yeah. All right, quick break. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You may be a natural woman. You may be a natural.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, 713-780-ESPN, if you wish to text the show. You can also hit us up via Twitter. If you're on the Twitch channel, there's like one guy posting hundreds of things, so I won't be reading the Twitch. Let's go.
I thought we didn't even have Twitch.
Yeah, we got it working.
Oh, it's up.
But yeah, it's like whenever you have somebody who's just spamming it with a whole bunch of stuff, I don't read it. So, Devin, you're on the Blitz.
Go. Hey, sports.
Sports, Dev.
Hey, yeah, I just turned on the show right now, so I don't know if you guys mentioned this, but it's about Bill O'Brien. And, you know, in 2017 when Deshaun was just tearing it up when in his rookie year in those six games, they were just averaging 40 points a game. Like, and then after he got hurt, you know, the following year, they just went back to what they were doing with Brock Osweiler and freaking Matt, Ryan Mallick and all those guys. And just running it on first and second down and then throwing it on third and long, three-yard pass. And it's just like, why didn't he just go back to what was working? They were averaging like 40 points a game. They were in a lot of these games. They should have been the Patriots and Seahawks that year. And I just don't understand that. And do you guys think that's the reason that he got the contract extension? Because there's no other reason to give that man a contract extension after going 4-12. It just doesn't make any sense. And so I'll hang up and listen. And thanks a lot for the call.
I mean, honestly, I don't think there's a good reason to give him that contract extension, and I can't justify it. I don't know that I don't know that you can come up with a good reason for it. I don't think what the caller said was a good enough reason to do.
That was the only thing that made me think, well, don't fire the guy, because that stretch, he's right. That everything worked, and it's like, oh my God, this is what his offense is supposed to look like. And then in the offseason, you hear, well, we're going to change the offense up completely. And I'm like, well, what was wrong with what you were doing there? That's the only time you've ever had a dominant offense. And it hasn't looked the same since. And in part, in fairness here, It's kind of like we were talking about with Pat Mahomes earlier. You don't want him running the ball in the regular season as much as he does sometimes because he takes hits. But when you get the playoffs, that's a different thing.
Right.
Having said that, there's a lot of stuff that they do that they just don't do enough of. Misdirection, bootlegs. I mean, some of those triple options where he throws the ball. I mean, where is all that? I mean, that looks so good during that stretch. And then that opened up everything else. And instead, you get this, especially early in games, it's another one I don't get. He'll come out, and you drop back the pass, and you send two guys out in a route, and nobody's open, and then Deshaun holds the ball on too long and gets sacked.
Yeah.
That's it. And
well, too often with Deshaun, it turns into flag football. And it makes you wonder, who drew up this play?
We know who draws up the play.
And, I mean, don't get me wrong. Most of the success the Texans have had in the last couple years is on flag football plays where the actual play didn't work and
right.
Deshaun did some stupid magic trick and something happened out of it. Like actual drawn up plays that go as planned almost never works here.
Well, and he's right. Run the ball on first down, run the ball on second down,
yeah.
Third and eight, forced to pass.
Yeah.
And get sacked usually. And it goes back to, okay, that stretch aside, at no point has this offense been a top 10 offense in the league.
Nope.
All right? So with the talent that you have there now, how is that acceptable? And if you're the head coach, shouldn't you be demanding more? Unless it's you. And he can't bring in somebody it just drives me nuts that just once I'd like to go hire the quarterback coach from the Chiefs or the Saints or somebody like that and make him OC and bring in a different offense. You can keep your boring run on first and second down, but bring me a player or somebody who can make these guys get more out of these guys, something different. That's it. Instead, it's the same old stuff. We got to coach better. We got to play better. Okay, you could coach better if you had better coaches.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Not happening anytime soon, Freddie.
No, and that's it. And I'm done being frustrated by it because it's just funny to me.
There's no point, yeah.
Nothing that I think they should do, they ever do. And that's okay. You go.
Well, it's their money.
Yeah,
keep. You want to light it on fire?
Yeah,
cool.
But I'll keep, along with a few other people, I'll keep being the one saying, okay, you're never going anywhere as long as you're doing this.
Yep.
And I'm not going to be going to your – and I know that O'Brien finds out when people criticize him, and he's bitter about it. Well, okay. How about you just do your damn job?
Yeah.
Do one job first. Do one job really well.
Right. Like, once you're really good at that first job, and you want to – you're like, you know what? I could do something else. Okay. He hasn't proven to be really good at that one job.
I would be fine with him doing whatever the hell he wants if he just bring in an offensive coordinator. A good one.
Yeah.
Not a friend. Not a pet. And, and just a tease, I already wrote my column for Wednesday. But, as a GM, you look at some of the things he did, and you're like, okay, this trade turned out, but why are you overpaying for Nick Martin? Why are you overpaying for Whitney Mercilus?
Yeah. Why do you pay sticker price or higher for everybody?
And because they're your pets. And so
it's a team of his buddies.
It is. It is. And that.
And good practice, guys.
Guess what? That never wins. That never wins. You can't just. And if we're going to use Belichick as the example, you can't do that. Just like you can't say, oh, we're going to get Tom Brady with the 199th pick.
Right.
It's just that happened one time. And yes, he can get away with it. Because it works for him, but you're not him. Not even close. Well, but that's, I saw how that organization worked there.
You're right.
And, okay. But, and how many times has the AFC South been represented in the AFC Championship game that wasn't the Texans since Bill O'Brien's tenure? All three of them.
Yeah.
Since Bill O'Brien's been there, all three of them have made it. And going into next year. And the Titans obviously have some questions to answer with Henry and at the quarterback position. But I'd feel better about them going into next year, assuming they get all that taken care of. I feel like the Colts will be good again. The Jaguars, I think getting rid of Coughlin will help. But I also think it was a real negative to get rid of Jalen Ramsey. So I don't know what they'll be. but I mean, that's I don't know what the Texans will be next year because I don't. Yeah. They've got some big holes to fill. And you know, the one thing I did point out, I know they gave up a steep price for Tunsil. I don't have a problem with that. I've said that all along. If you don't re-sign him, that's an abject failure.
Yeah,
and somebody has to be fired for that. And there's only one person responsible.
Well, so. No, the guy who's responsible is fired for sure by now.
I guess. So. So he says, we got a coach, better reminds me when I tell my wife I'm never drinking again. Yeah, but I think we've seen this a lot. And the best example that I can remember, when the Saints they had a great offense. They weren't winning anything. They went out and hired Greg Williams to run that defense. And then forget all the bounty stuff. That won them a Super Bowl.
Right.
Because they went out and got somebody who said, okay, and I still love Greg Williams as a defensive coordinator. You can say what you want about, you know, him wanting to chop people's heads off and stuff. But, you know, Sean Payton had to go out and do that. He had to go get somebody who could, you know, I don't have to worry about the defense. Man, why can't you do that if you're Bill O'Brien? Go get me somebody who's had success. And then go get me somebody who can do it with your offense.
Right.
Because that's a problem. He's not looking in the mirror saying, this is, I mean, the offense, it's somebody else's fault. For him, it works. He's okay with that. And that's a problem. But he ain't going anywhere. So I guess we'll all agree.
He's here to stay.
I guess I'm just going.
Matt, think about the day they fire him. What the buzz is going to be like in this city.
I'm not going to live that long. You may not live that long, AJ. He's got tenure. He's there for life. And I'd love to be wrong. I would love for him to go win a Super Bowl next year. And I would sit here and say, boy, I was wrong. You know what the odds of that happening are? 0.0. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Lamont says, it's like you guys think Bill O'Brien is actually going to be cognitive and do what's right. No, I don't. That's why I've said I've given up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like when your wife or your husband keeps doing something over and over that you know they're never going to change. At some point, you either leave or you give up. Well, I can't leave. I got nowhere to go. I got no place else to go.
Sorry, friend.
All right, let's go to our man from the bench, Lance Zierlein. You can follow him on Twitter at Lance Zierlein. What's going on, buddy?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
We're a flat organization. That's what I'll leave it at that. Yeah. What were your thoughts when you heard of the changes in the front office for the Texans today?
You mean beyond Chris Olsen, or are you just talking primarily Chris Olsen?
Well, Chris Olsen, and I'm kind of curious your thoughts on the, like, everybody was wanting Romeo Crennel fired. I don't think that they wanted someone who's been working underneath him to take the job, though.
Well, so Anthony Weaver's been kind of groomed for that. I think that's not a huge surprise around football necessarily. And let's just be honest about this. I mean, I think one thing we know about Bill O'Brien is he wants to keep it in House Lannister. He's House Lannister. He's going to hire House Lannister. And I think, you know, as far as Chris Olsen's concerned, I think, you know, he was from a different house. And so he had to go. And that's one thing with Bill O'Brien is, you know, one thing that the reputation is that he's got a little bit of reputation for being a guy who really covets loyalty, and being one of his guys, there's a little bit of a paranoia, I think, that comes with anyone who's worked with Bill Belichick, I think almost naturally kind of is tuned into it. And, you know, the Chris Olsen thing, honestly don't know. I haven't heard a reason given for it unless there's one that came out today
there's highly unlikely that Bill O'Brien is going to give any kind of answers that of any substance. And I can't see anything. I don't think Bill O'Brien has any leg to stand on if he says Chris Olsen did something wrong with not negotiating Laramie Tunsil's deal before the trade, because that's people around football thought that was just ridiculous. They said, how in the world could you not have a contract done? And, you know, behind the scenes, I talked to an agent who told me that Chris Olsen was against it, was adamant that a deal needed to get done before a trade. But I think what you have right now, Bill O'Brien has removed as many roadblocks as he can to get things done the way he wants to get them done, period. That's it. When he gets a whim to do something, he wants to do it. And he doesn't want a lot of checks and balances, and I think that's where you are right now. And Chris, I don't know if it has anything to do, you know, do with being a quote-unquote Rick Smith guy or anything like that. I think he wanted to go in a different direction, and I expect them to find some – I would hope they find a real cap guy, because it's clear from a value standpoint they had no idea what they were doing with the other trades. The players are good players, but you paid beyond retail price for them. So you take a value guy out of the building, that's a problem for me, unless they get him replaced with a good value guy.
Well, who would that be? Obviously, it's got to be somebody who's under O'Brien's thumb.
I don't know cap guys around the league, to be honest with you, so I really don't, you know, those aren't the guys that really stand out to me.
I'm hearing about a lot of influence that this Jack Easterby guy is having over there. Are you hearing much about that?
Is he the preacher?
Yeah, I think it's – so I think Easterby – I talked about it a little bit this morning. I've always heard that Jack Easterby comes in and kind of gets a feel for the people and if they're competent for their position. And I know people close to Brian Gain who thinks that, you know, there's a pretty good chance that Easterby got him. And there might be something to that here with this one too. You never know. It's just so weird how I use the Game of Thrones imagery earlier, because I just feel like that's what it is. You've got Lord Varys here now whispering to Bill O'Brien, and Bill O'Brien is, you know, one of them. Maybe Tywin Lannister, who's just kind of a little bit paranoid now, and he's a little impulsive, and he. You know, he can do his job okay, but sometimes he's his own worst enemy with how he, you know, behaves and reacts and responds. And so it's not been a good couple weeks in Houston. But besides what happened with the Houston Astros, which, you know, you lose a manager who I thought was a really good manager, and now see O'Brien, how impulsive he was in that Denver game when he was headed into the locker room. It's not like we didn't know that already. But he has just no checks and balances at all. And it's just really a concern to me. And I don't say that just about Bill O'Brien. I say that about any head coach. I don't think that's a good management structure. I don't think it's a good management structure to say, well, we're a flat organization, but you're not. It's one guy, and we know that he'll get rid of some people if he needs to. And I think there's got to be checks and balances. And usually the biggest check is the owner. But I don't think there is any reason to believe that Cal McNair will step in and slow down a train if he thinks it's headed in the wrong direction.
Well, that's the thing. What do we even know about Cal? I met him one time and I wasn't impressed, but I mean, we know nothing about the guy.
Nope. No. And I don't think that's a good thing. I don't like meddling owners, but I also don't ever like a coach to have complete control. I don't think it's a well-constructed championship ideology to have one guy with that much power. There needs to be some balances, and there needs to be three or four people that really can challenge a guy and go after it with the general manager that he can trust so that they say, hey, we can't do this, or hey, this isn't right, or hey, Bill, I need to talk to you about this. You have to have that. Maybe they do have it in the building. I don't get the sense that they do, though.
Well, that's not how they do it in New England, so.
No, that's true.
Guess you're wrong.
That's true.
Lance Erlein is our guest. I mean, that, just for a fan's sake now, let's say you're talking to Texans fans. What hope can you give them that anything's going to be different, considering all he does is consolidate more and more into just one guy?
No, I don't think there's much hope from that standpoint. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I don't think that he's already said twice, he's gone on record twice, that this is looks like not for the foreseeable future will there be any general manager. I think he got it to where he wants it. I really do think it's something where he wants as few roadblocks to his own decision-making of what the personnel needs to look like. And while a lot of people may have that, it's just not healthy. Like I said, it's not healthy for an organization. So I don't think he's going to actively pursue a general manager. And so unless Cal steps up and does that, I don't know how anything changes. And frankly, there's already been two general managers, and he obviously didn't get along well enough with either one of them. So I don't know, even if I'm Nick Caserio, I'm not 100% sure I want to step into this situation, because you also don't have first-round picks to deal with. So I'm at least for a couple of years, your draft capital is a lot lower. So I'm not sure that I'm super excited if I'm Nick Caserio about jumping headfirst over here into a situation where I go from being Bill Belichick's number two to being, you know, Bill O'Brien's number two. For what? Why would that entice Nick Caserio if he's not even going to be a real organization runner?
How often does a coach survive three general managers?
That's unheard of. I mean, how often does a general manager win 11 games and get fired? And by the way, his draft, including his first round pick, ended up making the rookie, the Pro Football Writers all rookie team this year, Tyus Howard, even though he missed time too. But so I don't know. I think that was maybe a little bit of vindication for Brian Gain, but it really doesn't matter. I think this is how it's going to look like until there's a new head coach.
So your thoughts are?
So hopefully that helps. So hopefully it gives people a little
hope
and excitement on this MLK Day.
Well, I have no hope to give them myself, so I was hoping you could, but oh well.
Nope, nothing.
Your thoughts on the Super Bowl matchup?
Love it. I really do like it a lot. I had a tweet out there yesterday. I remember, because I used to really cover the Texans pretty close, and when Kyle Shanahan started calling plays instead of Gary Kubiak, when Gary let him start calling plays, the offense just looked a little different. And it wasn't necessarily better. It was just more progressive, more aggressive. And Matt Schaub had his best year of his career. Then he went on and had RG3 and made him, Matt Schaub was a Pro Bowler. He went over to Washington with his dad, called the plays. RG3 was Rookie of the Year. I guess he did a pretty decent job with Hoyer. I thought he and Johnny would be a good combination. That clearly didn't happen. Then he went over with Matt Ryan, and Matt Ryan had his best season and an MVP and should have been a Super Bowl champ. And now he's done the same thing with Jimmy Garoppolo. So I look at that, honestly, I say, wow, I got a really impressive offensive mind. I got a pretty good quarterback. The running game, this classic outside zone, plug and play, plug the running back in, and we'll get you production. It's a great trade with adding Emmanuel Sanders, a really good multi-purpose tight end, and then a defense that's built to wreck you in the front seven. I think there's some elements here that remind me of the Seahawks when they started their run back in 2014 to beat the Denver Broncos. And I'm telling you, I'm not a big believer in the Kansas City Chiefs defense, and they don't run the ball well, and they're slow starters. I think the wrong favorite is up right now, and I understand why it's up from a public standpoint, because everyone's buying into Pat Mahomes. But I think wise guys are going to see this, and wise guys are going to say, man, I'll take San Francisco, because in power rating, from a power rating standpoint, San Francisco is maybe, in my opinion, maybe worth one and a half as the favorite. Instead, they got it the other way around. It's not like it's great value. It is. It's basically pick 'em, but if you sit tight, I think you might see it get to two, even 2.5, Kansas City. So, yeah.
Well, that's why I said there's no point.
I like San Francisco.
There's no point in rushing anything, because either you'll get three with San Francisco, which is where I'd be interested in San Francisco, or it'll stay under three. And for me personally, my power ratings do have Kansas City as a 1.5 favorite. So
yeah, where you like them, yeah.
Yeah, as long as it's under three, I'm fine taking the Chiefs with it minus 1.5 or 2.5 or whatever. At three, I do think there starts to be real value on the Niners. So there's no point in making a play now, because you've got plenty of time to let the market move it, if it's going to at all.
And I would agree with that. And for me it's about matchups. And I don't see a great matchup for the offensive line of Kansas City against the defensive front of San Francisco.
And, you know, typically you like the best quarterback to win. But in this case, I do think you have a play caller who can manufacture offense without a quarterback being, you know, unbelievable. And then the second thing is, I just don't think Pat Mahomes is going to have a whole lot of time to throw. And if they goof around and come out slowly again, I think they're going to be in some trouble. Well, the question is, do you trust Jimmy Garoppolo enough to manage a game and win it? Do you trust him enough to make plays if they get behind? So I like this matchup. I think it's the best matchup we could have had. I'm over Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, and Tannehill in the Super Bowl would have been just depression inducing.
Yeah, once the Ravens and Saints got knocked out, this was the only matchup I was really interested in.
It had to be this.
Yeah, because otherwise it was going to, like, if it was some team beside, like, once the Ravens and Saints got eliminated, if there was one of these teams versus one of not these teams, it was going to be a blowout.
Yeah, and while I like Aaron Rodgers, I think he's a really, you know, he's one of the all-time greats. I don't want to see, the Packers had no chance.
They were frauds. I
mean, no chance against Kansas City. It would have been one of those old-school 1990 shellackings.
All right, that's Lance Erline. You can hear him in the mornings, 7 to 9:30 on the bench. Joins us every Monday. Lance, appreciate the time, man, and we will talk to you again soon, buddy.
All right, sounds good. We'll see you guys.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Got a gym of the day for you when we come back. Hopefully start off the week strong. No matter where, it's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Join us out at Tight End Sports Bar and Grill in Webster, this League City. Okay, this is what I get for bleep you, San Diego. Just reading directly. Let's try this again. Join us out at Tight End Sports Bar and Grill in League City this Wednesday from 4 to 7 p.m. And then grab a drink with Nick Sharara from 7 to 9 p.m. Treat your taste buds to their excellent food and wide selection of beers, all while watching sports with the prettiest girls in Texas. So join us out there Wednesday from 4 to 9 p.m. See, there you go. That's what a professional does. He gets it wrong and then corrects himself.
That's right.
All right, let's go to the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gym of the day.
This is going to sound like Florida, but it's not. Germantown, just outside Milwaukee. So Joel Blank's neck of the woods.
Okay.
Let's say you're a driving teacher. And here's what you don't want to do if you're... You got the little student driver thing on your car.
Okay.
You don't want to get drunk.
No, bad call.
You don't want to have a student in the car you're teaching while you're drunk.
Also bad car.
You don't want to hit the principal.
No.
And get it all caught on surveillance video.
Oof.
And that's what happened. Corey Malone backed up into a gate, hits the principal. When they tested Malone, his blood alcohol level was 3 times over the legal limit.
It's too damn high.
That's too damn high for sure.
So one of the cops is, it's so busy at the time school lets you out, you have school buses that are going by. Students that don't have a lot of experience driving as well, and here you have an adult who's impaired. It's very scary. He's picking up a student to educate him on how to drive, and he isn't even fit to do it.
Womp, womp.
So not wise, guys.
Not wise.
According to the police report, the owner of the driving school told police she smelled what she thought was alcohol on him before he went to the school. She says he told her he quit drinking alcohol at midnight.
Said it was, if he quit drinking the day before, technically that's okay, right?
Right. If you actually quit drinking, but
you think you're saying maybe he lied.
Well, considering he tested three times the legal limit, I'm sure he did.
Well, that's unfortunate.
And that is your Zadok Jewelers gem of the day.
Three times is always strong.
The gem of the day.
That's the standard,
it's
really.
It's the gem of the
going
day.
Hard.
Yeah.
The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
Anything in the 0.2 something range?
Yeah, you're that's like, strong.
Yeah, that's man work right there.
I got some good news for potential good news for LSU fan. Obviously, they lost Joe Brady.
Boy, they could use some good news.
They lost Dave Aranda.
They lost basically every good player.
Well, guess who they might be bringing back as defensive coordinator?
Wade Phillips.
Bo Pelini.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dude was a hell of a coordinator. Come on.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. But boy, that's... You talk about you took a rose and you put it out in the wild and just let nature do its thing on it. It didn't come back with many blooms.
I don't know. I think that'd be a hell of a pickup for them.
Oh, I don't disagree. It's just hard to get excited about him after what he did as a head coach.
He's still better at Nebraska than anybody else has been.
Yeah, that's probably... Well, he started out pretty well at Nebraska. Things,
but nobody's been there... Before since has been
no,
close to that.
You're right.
So he's been at Youngstown State, but
he's
I think
been
being
bad at Youngstown State,
but defensive coordinator at LSU probably pays a little bit more.
I'm
than head
guessing
coach.
So.
So I think that'd be a great guy to get back.
Couldn't hurt. Yeah, they've had obviously you win a championship, great, but it looks like it's going to be a totally new looking team next year. It's going to be Cajun Cookie Monster and a bunch of new pieces around him.
Well, that happens when you win.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it happens to Alabama every year.
Yep.
So, they'll recruit well, but you're not going to match what you did last year. I mean, last year was a once-in-a-lifetime season.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you won't be competitive again. But, yeah, I think they need to find some way to keep that offensive structure still there and find the right people to plug in because they've always got receivers yep. there. So, but I think that'd be a good addition on the defensive side of the ball.
Couldn't hurt.
But, I mean, that's the thing. You're LSU. You're going to be able to afford whoever you want for most of these positions.
Yes.
And
except the guys you had.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not like they left for
other DC jobs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
you're
Aaron
right.
Miranda got to be a head coach and in the Big 12. So, I mean, that's at least yeah. something. And Brady's
Brady
an OC in the NFL. Yeah. And hard to blame either one of them for that. Especially you got to go now while you're hot. Because what if he comes back next year and you don't have the same quarterback and you're not as successful
yeah.
on offense. Suddenly it's like, always strike while it's hot.
Well, and that's why I think you're seeing so many of these NFL guys declare because they know it's gonna look a lot different next year. So
definitely.
You know, your stock is high right now if you're at LSU.
And certainly no Jose Burrow, so
nope.
You know, it's definitely gonna look a lot different. Is that Ed, EJ, or Eli?
That's Eli.
Let's go to
Elijah.
What's up, Eli?
Hey, sports guys.
Sports to you.
Hey, quick question. I heard you guys talking about the Bill O'Brien situation here in Houston. So just a question that popped in my head. What would you rather have, a coach who's seemingly taking over the organization that's happening here in Houston or the situation up in Dallas where basically the owner's been judge, jury, and executioner for the past 2-3 decades? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
I'll take Jerry in a heartbeat because that's not really accurate anymore. He's got Stephen Jones running a lot of that organization.
Yeah.
My only complaint about Jerry was he took too long to pull the trigger on Jason Garrett.
And you know what? Say what you will, and granted it was a long-ass time ago, but Jerry Jones knows what it takes to win, you know? And I don't know if anybody around here knows how to win, honestly. By the way, I did some research.
Yeah.
On Anthony Weaver. Anthony Weaver may be a good coach. I don't know. But if you take where the defense that he coached on, and he's coached all over the NFL, all different position groups, the defenses that he coached on, he's going to be a great Texans coach. You know why? The average rating of that defense, average rating in yards,
16.
Average rating in points, 18. He's built for the Texans.
Yep, that's perfect. Well, We'll see. Although, again, a lot of people said, oh, well, Mike Vrabel's going to be great. And you know what? He turned out to be a good head coach, but he was a crap defensive coordinator. Let's not mince any words here. He was bad.
God, I just counted 11 early injuries from LSU to the draft.
Wow.
That's a lot. Hmm. Yeah, they were smart. They're out of there.
But getting back to Jerry, I think, you know, I would, because he's so public and he's got his own radio show and he's talking all the time, everybody thinks that he's, you know, some kind of dictator up there. But they've run a much better operation over the last few years.
And
if you want to criticize him for keeping Garrett too long, I'll listen to that because I think they did. But you know what? He rectified it, and I like the move they made. We'll see if it works. And I would much rather have that than sit here for another 4 years of Bill O'Brien and going nowhere.
I was wrong. 9 from LSU. Kerry Vincent and Jacoby Stevens announced they would come back. So I had them on they were on a different list. So 9 are leaving LSU early.
Well, you get one receiver back, right? Because he's not old enough.
Yes.
So there's that.
Jefferson's gone. Moss is gone. They're losing, I think, 2 or 3 center, linebackers.
Yeah,
they're losing the running back. They're losing Delpit. They're losing
Chase on.
They're losing multiple offensive linemen. Yeah, it's a lot of that good stuff leaving. But once you win a title, you don't really care. Let them go.
Yeah.
You can't be mad at those guys.
No, no. So, 713-780-3776 if you wish to get in. And, guys, if you've had a bad experience with a business and you want to put a stop to it, well, we've got a new website for you to check out, mybadexperience.com. And this is a website where, you know, you can go on and for $4.99, you can tell all. You might even reach a resolution with the business to compensate for your loss of hard-earned money. And this isn't a troll site. Everything's verified. And all you have to do is go to mybadexperience.com today to warn others about bad businesses before it's too late. Maybe you had a problem with the mechanic and they didn't want to fix your car. Maybe you had a contractor come out and they didn't do the job that they were hired to do. Well, you can go to mybadexperience.com and put it on there, and they'll try to work it out for you. They'll try to reach a resolution. And if they do, it's still going to be there so people know, wait a minute, you know, if I'm going to deal with this guy, I better know that something may not happen in my favor here. MyBadExperience.com, a paid review is a legit review. Stop bad business today, MyBadExperience.com.
We could be legends after all. Hey, whoa, whoa.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.